Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Shrinking yourself is not humility. It is actually fear that's dressed up as peace. I just want to keep the peace. Like, I don't want to, you know what I mean? But you know that it bothers you. Why do we actually do these things is the question, right? Let's get a little bit deep here.
Hey, babe.
It's Aisha Christina. Nice to meet you.
This is Quality Queen Control.
What is happening? Hello, my beautiful angels. Welcome back to another episode. Do we love the look, guys, today? I don't know. Just came up with it on the fly. Honestly, the older that I am becoming, my fashion sense is getting absolutely incredible. It's outrageous. Like, I don't know what's happening, but thank you, Lord. Nothing really new to update you guys on other than you better hype this video. Hype this video so that YouTube knows that we are here. Quality queens are in the building. And if you're a part of the A-team, why wouldn't you do it? It just makes sense, you know? So today I want to talk about something about why playing small can be blocking your blessings. And this honestly goes across the board, but especially, of course, as it pertains to your romantic dynamics. You know, at some point in my life, I realized, in general, the more that I shrank, honestly, the more invisible I simply became. And let's just even say in some romantic dynamics, if you're not being chosen, you are simply being tolerated. And you never want to fall in the category of passive reciprocity, right? So this is just simply going to be a little conversation that we're going to have for women like us that are actually self-aware, okay? Healing, you want to heal. You are also ambitious at the same time. This is not about bashing anyone, men or anything. It's honestly about self-betrayal, all right? And personal development as well. So this is basically why you may feel that your life cannot expand. And it's probably because you are constantly editing yourself so that you become acceptable. And there have been times in my life, and I think that this directly corresponds to people pleasing. When you are a people pleaser, as soon as you hear some sort of feedback from someone, you almost value everyone's opinion of you because you care about your perception of people, which is not a negative concept to have on a surface level, right? You want to be someone that people, you know, kind of like, the ones that matter. I mean, not everyone. However, when you're a people pleaser, you tend to edit yourself with anyone's feedback, criticism clothed as feedback, et cetera, and you're just turning yourself into a chameleon to try and adapt to what makes everyone feel acceptable, that you're acceptable, palatable, all of the things. But what you're not realizing is you are turning into a bunch of different versions of what these people want you to be, and you're actually betraying yourself. What does shrinking actually look like? Well, simply saying that things are fine when it's not. We all do this. We all do this. We do this for so many reasons. We do this because we don't want to be a burden to people. We don't want to make things seem like it's too much. Or in a romantic dynamic, especially, you don't want to feel like you're being annoying, you're being a nag. The gag is some of you actually really are a nag, but anyways, that's neither here nor there. But you say you're fine when you're not, because you always want people to think that you're okay. It's honestly something we all do in life, especially when the actual answer sometimes is a 10-minute podcast and you don't feel like getting into it at the moment. You know, shrinking also can look like lowering your standards so that you can avoid conflict. Well, this is just as good as it's gonna get for me right now. I don't really wanna ruffle any feathers. Like, this is just what I'm putting up with. But let me tell you something, that the psyche must always be heard, okay? And because the psyche must always be heard, you will end up, if you fall in these categories, as someone that projects onto other people what you know that you should be doing. So you'll become a person that all of a sudden you're talking about what other people are tolerating in their relationship dynamics. Meanwhile, you're completely blind and turned a blind eye to the things you tolerate in your relationship. I actually knew someone like this once upon a time, where they were so vocal about everyone else's relationship and what they would never be tolerating from that person. And it's crazy how they're dating this person and why they would marry that person and all these different things. And then when that person ended up in a relationship, they became a completely different person. They became a mute, all these different things. Let me tell you something. They say pets keep you honest, but so do relationships. Relationships are really going to show everyone, not even just yourself, if you really are about that life, if you really are who you think you claim to be, right? Relationships are going to show us real quick if you're really about that life, right? Not asking for what you need. It is hard. It's hard sometimes to ask for what you need because you don't want to come across as a burden. Listen, I am definitely guilty of doing this myself, where like I would rather sometimes handle certain things on my own, depending on who the situation is with. I know that particularly with friends, I don't want to put, you know, a lot of responsibility or anything like that on my friends and stuff like that. But I prefer to do things more by myself. And sometimes, yeah, you do have a circle and a community for a reason, and they are there for you to help you in those moments where you're going to need, you know, their help. But when you're not asking for what you need, especially as it pertains to a romantic dynamic, that is a cause for concern. You should feel comfortable to, you know, the person that you're with, you're sharing all these things with, you should feel comfortable to come to them and ask them for what you need. You shouldn't be ashamed of that. And with that being said, corresponding with not asking for what you need is making yourself easier instead of just being honest. Girl, you know that that bothers you and you don't want to do that, but you're like, that's fine. That's fine. We can do that. This actually reminds me of the whole Taylor Swift thing. Do you guys remember that whole debacle about, and please correct me in the comments if I'm wrong, but remember that whole thing with like Kanye saying that he called her and contacted her in regards to letting her know that he wanted her to be a part of his song. He was going to say what he was going to say about her. And the thing is, I can hear in Taylor's voice, she was uncomfortable. And sometimes you have people that are a little bit of a terrorist, so to speak, like Kanye, where you want to say what you're going to say, but you're nervous to vocalize your opinion because you're just so taken aback that somebody would even approach you with this. So you tend to just be like, okay, it's fine. I heard Taylor's uncomfortability when he was reading her the lyrics, and she did not want him to produce that song. She didn't want to be a part of any controversy with Kanye literally at all. But she just kind of was like, if you even heard her response, she was like, I mean, you don't care. So like, you're going to do it anyways, right? I think at that point, she kind of arrived at the conclusion of, well, does it really matter what I think? Because clearly you're calling me. And if I tell you, you know, that I don't feel comfortable with this, then like now it's awkward between us, maybe, because you are coming to me with all this enthusiasm. Like, you really feel like this is a great idea. but there is a people pleasing part of you that is just like, okay, I will just deal with the uncomfortable consequences after. But as you grow in wisdom and you grow older, you should release yourself of the shackles of people pleasing. Even think about this, ladies, when you go to the nail salon and you don't like your nails, but you sat there and paid for your nails when you don't like them. That is one of the biggest lessons that I've had to learn in life, is to just be, start being vocal with any and everything. You know, it doesn't mean, and if that person is going to take it in offense, and who cares? I don't like it, I'm done. And of course, it's uncomfortable to do that in certain scenarios. Like sometimes when you're getting your hair done and certain stylists are doing a certain style and you're like, what actually is this? And some of them have a nasty attitude and you would rather just shut your mouth. But you have to realize you're sacrificing how you're actually feeling, and you're the one that's going to have to sit with the consequence after. So you are betraying yourself because you would rather just let it be. Meanwhile, you're enabling and allowing people like this to think that you're okay with whatever the circumstances, because you're not speaking up for yourself. I think maybe, again, Taylor in that position, she could have been like, you know, this sounds really funny, and honestly, I do appreciate your enthusiasm, but if I'm being honest, I think considering our past and everything, it does make me feel a little uncomfortable to say this specific line. And I totally understand that it's satire and all the things, but it just makes me uncomfortable in general to kind of, you know, associate myself with it. I know that might not be what you want to hear. And it honestly is uncomfortable for me to vocalize, especially being someone that is a people pleaser. Like, she could have worded it like that. But again, that takes more life experience and maturity to be able to word things in that way so that you can start to let your yes be yes and your no be no. Just like even with your nails, really, you can say like, you know, if, you know, as soon as you start to clock that you don't like that design and you don't like that color, I don't know what it is with certain nail salons. I don't go to traditional nail salons. I get, I'm off the press on life, guys. Might I add, sidebar, like, oh my gosh, my nails got so damaged from the press on life. I think it's because me, like, I have very sensitive nails. I cannot take care of my nails myself, babe. My nail lady, I haven't gone to her since September. I just went back to her literally yesterday. She said, I am concerned for you, your nails. So I get hard gel manicures. My nail lady is Ukrainian. So I used to get the Russian manicures, and now I get hard gel manicure with Ukrainians, and they are the best. Like, when I tell you, my nail tech is so talented and she's so passionate about what she does. Like, I actually love her. I love the entire salon. Anywho, if you're clocking that you don't like a design or something like that, just say, I don't really love that color. Do you think we could do something else? Like, you don't let them get to all 10 fingers and then you're uncomfortable. They're uncomfortable because they just did all 10 of your fingers. You know, you don't really like it. You just keep staring at it, hoping that they're going to pick up on the cues. No, you have to say something. You're going to have to speak up for yourself. I'm telling you, or you're just going to continue to let people walk over you, and it's going to come to a boiling point, right? You have to speak your mind, because I'm telling you, while you're doing this, other people are going to be testing you and trying you. I remember I used to be friends with a couple people in my life that just made me so uncomfortable at certain points with the things that they would say, the things that they would do. The first time I encountered behavior that made me very uncomfortable, I didn't respond. I didn't know how to act. I wasn't really sure what to say because I was just so stunned that somebody would treat me like that or say something like that to me. And you kind of think in your head like, if you heard this story, that you would say this to that person, you would say that. But like, you'd be shocked. You freeze. You honestly don't know how to respond in certain moments, especially when you've encountered something for the first time. And then I encountered that behavior again in another person, and I very much knew how to navigate it from that point. And I was able to make a graceful exit because I knew, okay, I'm seeing themes of that type of behavior. And yeah, I'm out. I'm not dealing with that. And, you know, I tried vocalizing at one point before it got to that specific point how I felt, and I thought everything was fine, but then I had to make the decision I made anyways. I say all that to say, like, making yourself easier to be around just so that you can keep the peace instead of being honest is not something that's going to work for you in your adulthood, babe. I'm sorry, but it's not going to work for you. You have to be honest. And honestly, life feels better when you are honest. How good does it feel to know that your friends are actually your friends? How good does it feel knowing that you can walk into a room or leave a table and know that the girls weren't talking about you behind your back as soon as you got up? How good does it feel to know that you're showing up as authentically as possible, you know, in a relationship, your romantic relationship, and that man actually likes all of you? You're not keeping up a persona in any capacity. So, you know, you feel so confident because he actually knows you. He actually loves you for you. You're not putting on any, you're not putting on for the put on, if you know what I mean. All right. Or even being chill when you're actually disappointed. That does you no good. And people love doing this, especially in romantic dynamics, acting like things don't bother you when they in fact do. Then when you blow up, when you get more comfortable with that person, they're looking at you like, wait, I'm so confused. You weren't acting like that the first time this happened, or whatever the case is. Well, you know what? It actually always bothered me, and I'm finally just saying something about it now. Yes, there will probably come a time in your life where you will encounter a situation like that for the first time, but there shouldn't be a second, a third, and a fourth time where as you get into new relationships and new you know, dynamics, that becomes a theme where you're always holding on. No, you should have learned from the first time somebody made you feel that way, or you made somebody feel that way. Okay, this doesn't work. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to address this without feeling like, oh, I just didn't want to be annoying. I just whatever. No, if it bothers you now, it's going to continue to bother you. When you get locked into any sort of dynamic, those same issues that once bothered you exasperate. They don't dissipate. Okay. All right. Shrinking yourself is not humility. It is actually fear that's dressed up as peace. I just want to keep the peace. Like, I don't want to, you know what I mean? But you know that it bothers you. Why do we actually do these things is the question, right? Let's get a little bit deep here. Well, one, the fear of abandonment. You also want, and what people don't realize is these behaviors are unintentionally sometimes manipulative, right? You want people to stay around you. So you're just trying to show up in this capacity so that, you know, it keeps the peace. You're not ruffling any feathers, whatever the case is, but it's going to come to a boiling point where you're going to explode and you're not going to want to. The real you is going to want to show up. The real you is going to arrive. Trust me, you cannot keep on the facade for long. You can't, all right? Also, wanting to be chosen more than you want actual alignment. Well, this directly corresponds to, well, honestly, this corresponds to all types of dynamics. Sometimes you can have a certain friendship that you don't want to let go of because of the appearance of what it looks like, and you don't want to make it seem like you have no friends and that you're alone and all these different things. So this is why you would rather, oh, at least this person chooses to be around me, rather than, you know what, I don't care to let this situation go because it's not aligning. I don't care. And then, of course, even in relationships, romantic dynamics, more than anything, we see this dynamic being present where you already know, okay, this, I don't really think that I'm seeing this whole entire situation through, but you would rather go as far as humanly possible because you don't want to start again, because you don't want to be 35 and not married. All your friends are having kids, and this is the step that you feel like you should have arrived at in life, and why are you not there yet? So you would rather have somebody, anybody next to you, and that's why you've jumped through hoops and you've done a lot of gymnastics in order to force your alignment with somebody that you are not aligned with. And after a while, when you're constantly operating with those antics, you can't tell what's real and what's not anymore, because you've just done so much legwork that you don't even know, man, like, did I actually manufacture this relationship, or is this a natural thing? You can't tell. And that becomes an issue, right? Also, sometimes being submissive or agreeable, right, is why people want to do things. People also want to do things even for sometimes religious conditioning. And that says a lot, right? Because I am someone that identifies as a Christian. But sometimes this is the difference between relationship versus religion. There is a massive difference. When you truly have a relationship with Jesus Christ, right? Because God can be anything to anyone. And I stand 10 toes down on that. I believe in Jesus Christ, meaning Jesus Christ is God. For me, that's what I believe. You will encounter people of all walks of life that claim, right? They're speaking, you know, Jesus, God with their lips, but their hearts are far from God. And, you know, just for the sake of seeming like they are a certain way, they are trying to perform within a certain parameter to be agreeable and docile and all these different things when they're actually nothing of the sort. So you're just faking the funk, essentially. Right. And then some people have this lie that they believe that love is pretty much earned through endurance. These are going to be the types of women who genuinely do believe that, oh, well, we've been together for so long. Like going through trauma equates to we must belong together. Going through a lot of turmoil equates to history and why we should be together. We've been together for 3 years. We've been together for 7 years. We've gone through so much. I've taken him back when he cheated. I've taken him back when he did this and did that. And he took me back when I did that. And that equates to you as, oh, well, we've endured all of this. We must be meant to be together. This has to be love because of all that we've gone through. No, not necessarily. Because at the end of the day, if being chosen is going to cost you your voice, then that's not love. That's called survival. That's what that's called. And if every time you're having to have a conversation over and over again about it's like you're hitting reset on your relationship where you're always having to have like this communication issue and you're always having a conversation about being real and you think every step you make, okay, finally, I think we're going to be good now because we finally got that layer done. But then the onion just keeps on peeling. That's a cause for concern. All right. The cost of shrinking yourself. All right. This is the wake up call that the cost of shrinking yourself is going to come with resentment. You're functioning in this on a day-to-day basis, but you're going to become resentful. And if you're not going to identify that you are becoming resentful in your own dynamic, you are going to start resenting other people because it's triggering something in you that's missing. You will also have a loss of identity. We hear people say it all the time. I lost myself in that relationship. It can happen because you were performing within a certain parameter that was not you. You didn't have a voice, right? Also, emotional exhaustion. It is exhausting to be anything other than yourself, unless there's some sort of clinical issue here where there's a scale, you're on the scale of narcissism to some degree, and you're okay with trying on a bunch of different identities and performing within a certain parameter before you dispose of people. But for people that do not have any sort of clinical diagnosis or issues around that, you should find it to be exhausting to be anyone other than yourself. You should want to give up the charade at some point in your life and approach relationships from the standpoint of, you know what? I don't care about me being liked by you more than I value and care about. Do I like you? Does this align? And am I able to be 100% myself around you? Or am I lying to myself and trying to, you know, piece things together to create a beautiful puzzle, thinking that that's, you know, this is a beautiful picture, but really I created it. I made it. It should exhaust you to not truly say how you feel because your desires matter more than what the reality of the situation is, okay? Also, like I said, your relationship's plateauing. Babe, it is a data point. If every time you turn around, people are disappearing from you, it is a data point to turn around and realize, why do my relationships always get to a specific point and then things always drastically turn around? That is not everyone leaves me, everyone just goes, all these different things. No, that is because there's something in you that is causing these situations, that's attracting these types of dynamics. It's actually a data point. In the name of self-awareness, you should be able to sit in that discomfort so that you can let that be the catalyst of change. Because you can't change what you don't acknowledge, babe. If you're in denial, but reality is saying otherwise, then I beg to differ, okay? Also, when you are someone that shrinks yourself, you will attract partners who actually like to control you, right? You're not attracting partnerships. You are attracting control. People are mistaking your, you know, people that mistake your kindness for weakness, people that are looking for victims that are not going to speak up for themselves. They're looking for someone that's just going to put up and shut up and not say anything. And they think that if you vocalize your opinion, that's you being disrespectful. That's you talking back. That's all the things. No, you're allowed to be your own person. They think that you're supposed to perform within certain parameters. That's how they feel. The thing is, you're not going to be losing people when you stop shrinking, right? But you're definitely going to lose the attachments to things that made you feel like you're small. And that's the thing about me. If I'm gonna be transparent with you guys, I feel like throughout certain friendship dynamics in my life, there is duality to myself where, yes, I show up online, all these different things. I am a confident person. In my friendships, I am very, very kind. You know, very supportive, and I would honestly say very like humble, and I have a lot of humility. And I know that sounds crazy for me to probably label myself as such, but one of my best friends just told me this about myself yesterday, so I'm just repeating it. And I thought that was really nice and kind. And I think some individuals that have been in my life in the past, they mistake that humility and my humbleness for genuine weakness. So they try and test me. And because I don't do people the way that they do me, I just don't really care to have the energy to go back and forth with you and to go toe to toe with you. And, you know, you're doing this to me and then I'm doing this to you. Like, I'd rather just be done. And so for some reason, some people, they mistake that as like, oh, she's not playing the game. She's, you know, she's out. She's weak. And it's like, no, I actually just don't care. But some people, I've also come to learn, they do have to be checked or they're going to continue to try and test you. And they're going to think that you're enabling their behavior, whether you realize it or not, because they're going to think that everything that they're doing is okay. So by the time you finally speak up for yourself, they're sitting here feeling like, well, you didn't have a problem with me doing this before, all these different things. It's because some people have never encountered certain personalities like that before. And also, let's be honest here. Let's call a spade a spade. It's never easy to tell somebody that you have a problem with like how they're showing up. It's not easy to tell your friend, hey, you literally just lied about an event that I was there for and told the story in a different way, like you were a history revisionist and you told it with such conviction, it actually made me feel very uncomfortable. Like, let's be honest here. That's not lost on us that sometimes having these tough conversations is real. It's so uncomfortable that you would rather just not even deal with it at all. And you have to discern whether or not you want to do that. So a lot of the times you'll take mental note and say, okay, and then you wait till the next thing happens. The next thing happens just as egregious as the first thing, and that just becomes the norm. Next thing you know, you're just taking mental note, until it hits a boiling point where you're just like, all right, I'm fed up of this person. But they, because you didn't say anything any of those other times, you didn't even give a small little clap back that indicates that you have some grit in you, they're so used to you just being quiet and docile that they're blindsided by how you've been feeling, but really you've been feeling these feelings all along. But because of that person's personality, it's hard to bring it to their attention. And that person's probably feeling like, well, if I'm this way, then why didn't you say this to me before? All these different things, not realizing, well, it's your personality and how you come across, clearly lacking accountability and awareness that makes someone feel that way. Some people also could feel that way on their own, but I have found in my experience, a lot of the times it's because this behavior goes unchecked. Certain people's behavior goes so unchecked, they're used to performing in a certain way with all their relationships that it's jarring when someone tells them like, hey, this absolutely does not work for me. Because now to them, it feels like you're insulting who they are. Whatever their identity is attached to, they feel like you're insulting that.
they're not used to people actually vocalizing how they feel in a friendship. So it's uncomfortable to sit in that conflict and to sit in that the adversity of, okay, where do we stand now that this is out in the open sort of thing? Because it's, especially depending on how the longevity of the relationship, it's almost like, okay, well, where do we stand from here? Where's the dynamic going to go? But again, in friendships, there's elasticity, flexibility, transparency is required. Honesty is also required. But sometimes I find that people that are very, very, I hate to say it, but just like messed up, they don't know how to perform, how to be a good friend. They don't know how to be a good partner because they're cosplaying both roles, that they cannot hear the truth about themselves because it will just crack the mask of who they think that they are. Anywho, like I said, when you are shrinking yourself, you are going to attract people that like control. And this goes in friendships and whatever. So this caused me to question, was I shrinking myself in certain dynamics? And I absolutely was. That's the truth. I was shrinking myself and not standing in my power. And somehow the line between humility and shrinking got blurred and really made certain individuals think that I was really the one to play with. Luckily, lessons have been learned and I no longer am that way. However, for some reason, I guess it was, well, one, you want to showcase like, hey, like I am a kind person. You also want to be liked, right? You genuinely do. So it's hard when, again, you come across very strong personalities that are just crass and strange. And you're just like, I don't even know how to respond to this person because I can't believe they have this much audacity to do these things, to say these things. Like, what do I do from here? Where do I go from here? And you just get sucked into it. And then everything just comes to a screeching boiling point. And then you're just like, screw it. I don't even care. I don't care where like this relationship even goes anymore, because honestly, like, I've been done with you for a long time. That's just the honest truth, right? But if your friendship cannot survive being honest and transparent and saying what your grievances are, then it's just never going to work out. So when you are learning to actually expand yourself, you're walking in your truth, it's going to require a lot of discomfort. You're going to have to come to the revelation and the realization that, hey, this is how everyone is feeling about me that I care about. Maybe I should consider listening to them. I shouldn't shut them down. I'm realizing a lot of uncomfortable truths about myself that I have to come to terms with. The person that I thought that I was, maybe I'm not that person because these people have a difference in opinion. It's going to be very, very uncomfortable, to say the least, what's required of you to stop letting these circumstances happen to you, to stop being a victim of constantly shrinking yourself all the time, right? It's also going to require you to establish boundaries and stand on them too. Stand on your boundaries, because what you're not realizing is the people that have eroded at your boundaries, they don't care. They're going to show up the way they're going to show up regardless. You ever met someone with a very strong personality? They say anything that comes to their mind, but they seem practically incapable of receiving any sort of criticism about themselves. It's funny how that works. It's funny how this person can say the meanest, crass, nastiest things about someone, but the second they hear a comment like, hey, I didn't like what you did, they're so insulted by that. It's like, wait, what is landing in your ears that like, it's like I'm almost saying, you know, I don't know, like I did something to your mom or something. Like, what is your deal? Like, I'm not understanding why the simple thing that I just said is so offensive to you. Meanwhile, the way you speak is actually crazy. Have you ever met someone like that? Yeah, I'm willing to bet you have. You also have to be comfortable. Let me be abundantly clear here. You need to get comfortable as you are coming into your own. Get comfortable with people misunderstanding you. I don't care to clear rumors up. Believe whatever you want to believe. I don't care. I really don't. Because at the end of the day, if people are going to be determined to misunderstand you, let them. Mel Robbins theory, let them. I genuinely am comfortable with certain people never hearing my side of the story, saying whatever they want to say about me. I don't care, because I realized I do not value certain people's opinion. And if I was in a relationship with someone and I realized, okay, this doesn't work for me anymore, and I tried to bring it up, but I see that it's not working, this person is not receptive to it, then I no longer value what it is that you think. You have lost that right in my life, okay? I no longer value what you think, which means I am going to show up differently, okay? So that means we could just agree to disagree. It's up from here. It's never gonna be what it was. Letting people misunderstand you is one of the biggest keys. You do not need to go defending yourself to every single person. You don't need to literally fight every single war, defend every sentence. Let it be. And you know what? To weak people, this is gonna look like guilt. Oh, well, it must be true because she didn't even say anything. A lot of the times what people don't realize is people that love, that have the most rah-rah response and all these different things, they're usually actually the ones that are wrong in the situation. It's the people that are quiet a lot of the time and trying to process and understand what they just endured that are usually the ones that are actually the victims in the situation that need to be heard. I have found that to be the truth about a lot of things. When you're experiencing something extremely traumatic, it's not your usual go-to to just hop on the internet or be screaming from the rooftops what you just encountered. Usually you are more quiet because you're just you're stuck. You're trying to figure out what just happened to you and how to give words to what just happened to you. But people that have so much energy behind telling their story and running to this person and that person and that person, they want to get in front of it because they want to be in charge of the narrative. Interesting how that works. All right. So let people misunderstand you. I mean, really, out of all of this, please let people misunderstand you. A lot of people will have a lot of opinions of you. And to be honest, it's none of your business what other people are thinking about you. Right. It's actually none of your business. If they're going to think that, great. Doesn't matter. Has nothing to do with the price of tea in China. You're also going to have to choose growth over chemistry. Yeah, you connect with this guy. You're so attracted to him, all the things. But you know that there's something going on here that, this is repeating a little bit of a pattern that I want to get away from. But you feel that chemistry with this guy, probably lust, but you feel this chemistry with this guy. You want to keep it going. But you already know deep down in your heart, the answer is no. Okay. So you have to choose growth over chemistry. All right. At certain times. Well, actually, no, all the time. You need to choose growth over chemistry, period. If you know that something is just not really serving you, why continue to go down that path of talking and engaging with a person that you don't have kids with this person? You're not married to this person. You're not living with this person. I don't get it. Like, what's really holding you here? I understand it could be emotions and all these different things, but it's like, you know, you can't just continue to choose the intimate moments that you have over the fact that this is a toxic dynamic, right? And then you also have to trust that the right connection is not going to require you to completely erase yourself. The right connection for you is going to require you to show up fully self-actualized as yourself. And there will be no issue with that. We, for some reason, seem to be conditioned as women to think that we have to try and earn the affection of men to be liked by them. You're pretending to be interested in football when you are not. You're pretending to be interested in all the things that he likes and all his hobbies when you're not, simply because you want to get with him. Then when you do and the mask starts to fall and he wants to watch football thinking that's what you guys bond over and you don't want to do it, he's sitting here confused like, well, why did you switch up? But really, you realize I never liked it. I was just tolerating it. I was putting up with it. You have desires of your own that you want to do with your partner and explore and all these different things, but you're not doing them because you're too busy trying to transform into something that someone that they would want instead of just being yourself. That takes real actual maturity. The right connection for you is not going to require you to literally erase parts of yourself. What? And think about it even from a faith perspective. God is not going to bless who you pretend to be. Be so for real. All right? He's going to bless who you actually are. That's the difference. So the questions to ask yourself is, well, why am I minimizing myself so I could keep this connection? We've all done it. I don't even want to hear it. We've all done it. And answer this honestly in the comment section. Why? Where am I minimizing myself to keep a connection? You'd be shocked with the answers here and how many of you probably are doing the same thing. What would I say if I was not afraid of the outcome? This is going to be juicy. I do want to hear what you guys have to say with that. Who benefits if I stay small? What version of me is trying to be born? So at the end of the day, we have to realize that, listen, you're not meant to be palatable to every single person, right? What is that saying? Like, you, may not be someone's cup of tea if they like champagne. I don't know. You guys know what I'm talking about. There's some sort of quote that mentions tea and champagne or something like that. You were, however, meant to be powerful. You're meant to be honest. You're meant to be whole. You're meant to be all of yourself. So sit with the discomfort. That's where people skip the self and what people skip in self-growth. They skip the discomfort. They hate being alone. They hop from this and this and that. And what's crazy is these people are so great at identifying these issues in others because they don't realize that it actually stems from something that they've done, that they are doing themselves. But they love calling it out in others as though that actually takes place and does the healing for them, you know, them being able to identify it in other people. Make sure that you were journaling. Journal honestly, because some people, did you guys hear about that thing on ChatGPT where some people were saying that ChatGPT just exacerbates whatever narrative you tell it to? Like, if you tell ChatGPT a version of your story, of course it's going to give you feedback based off of that version. But I don't know, if you maybe program it to just tell you the truth and things like that, then maybe it will be different. But case in point of this is that lady that had that series that talked about how her therapist, she was in a relationship with her therapist or something of that nature, and it turns out she kind of wasn't, and she was consulting with her ChatGPT, and ChatGPT was literally like feeding her actual delusions and her mental illness, which made her actually think that she was in fact in a relationship with her therapist, and it led to all this drama, et cetera, et cetera. Literally, this is on TikTok, and this happened a while ago, so this is nothing, you know, really new. But the point is that some people are just like leaning on ChatGPT to filter through their emotions, not realizing it's just feeding them into their own delusions of grandeur even more. All right. And lastly, what I want you to do is I want you to share this episode with a woman that you feel is shrinking herself right now. Okay. Remember this: shrinking is not humility. It is fear. This person won't like me if I show up exactly as I am. This person is not going to like me if I showcase, if I walk in the fullness of who I am, because it threatens them. So you dim your light so that it's more palatable for them. I'm guilty. You should not lose people the more you expand as a person. You shouldn't. The wrong ones, of course, will fall off. And being a low maintenance person is honestly just high levels of abandoning yourself. It's self-abandonment. So that is the end of this episode, my loves. With that being said, do not forget that I love you and God loves you. And I'll speak to you beautiful angels in my next episode. Mwah.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.